Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, July 25th, 2015, and this is show number 20.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling wavels have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, he's not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad. I want to talk to you about what every American Christian and Muslim needs to know about Islam. Now, today's broadcast is a follow-up from our last episode where I interviewed a gal that we called Sandy, who grew up in an Islamic country as a Muslim, and she then subsequently gave her life to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior at the risk of death. And I had some callers that were waiting to chime in, but for safety reasons, because Sandy's family is still in that country, I couldn't afford to risk taking calls. So if there's anybody listening that wants to call in to today's episode, I will take your questions. The phone number you can reach me at is 646-564-9596. That's 646-564-9596, and that phone number is on the homepage of this broadcast. But I want to go back to something Sandy said, and we're going to use that as a springboard for our program today. I asked Sandy, what would you say to American Christians who believe that the Allah of Islam is the same as the God of the Bible? And she gave a variety of answers that I wanted to highlight. She said that if they were the same, let me reiterate from the start, she said unequivocally that no, absolutely not. They are not the same God. They are different gods. She said along those lines, if they were the same God, then their words would be the same too, which they're not, which is so true. She said that even a glance at the real followers of each God are different, which they are. And then she said that the teachings of these two gods are completely different. And that's what I wanted to pick up on and talk about today. But before we do, I want to make a couple of disclaimers. I want to let you know that I'm absolutely not picking on Muslims any more than I'm picking on Christians, that this message is to both in an impartial way. And here's why. Here's what I know in more than 30 years of leadership and study of both Christianity and Islam, and that is the most professing Christians, at least here in the United States, have little to no idea what the Bible actually teaches about Christianity. And in the same way, most professing Muslims, they've never read the Quran, therefore they have little knowledge about what the Quran actually teaches. I want to tell you that the ignorance of the past two presidents of the United States have only done more harm to us than good, as the current president, Barack Obama, has been very public with his belief that the Allah of the Quran is the same as the God of the Bible. And past President Bush the Younger, you can pull up an episode, or rather a YouTube clip of him saying that he absolutely believed that they were the same gods. And so in light of that, again, I want to reiterate, we've got more than 2 billion professing Muslims and professing Christians in the world today. And I want to tell you straight up that the overwhelming majority of them are merely practicing empty religion. I'm not trying to be mean here. I just want to let you know that impartially I'm making a statement that they're absolutely no better and no worse off than the other. And so let's address this question. Is the Allah of the Quran the same as the God of the Bible? And understand one thing, please. I'm not making an argument against Arabic-speaking Christians calling God Allah. I know full well that the Arabic term for God is Allah. So if you're an Arabic Christian, of course you would refer to God as Allah. That's a given. What I'm referring to is that the Allah of the Quran, the God of the Quran, is not the same as the Allah of the Bible, the God of the Bible. They are distinctly different. In fact, let me make one other statement before we begin. I'm not saying that they're just different. I'm saying that they are actually opposite of one another. I'm here to tell you, as I'm going to prove forcefully here over these next several minutes, not only are they different gods, they're antagonistic to one another. Not only are they antagonistic to one another, they are diametrically opposed to one another. Now, I want to speak to three things today. I want to speak to the issue of Jesus as the Son of God. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God, and the Quran teaches that he is not the Son of God. The second issue I want to address is whether or not Jesus was crucified. The Bible teaches that Jesus was crucified, and that's absolutely critical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins on the cross to then 3 days later raise again, and he is therefore the Savior of the world. The Quran teaches that he did not, that he was not crucified, that he did not die for our sins, that he is not the Savior of the world. And that's our third issue. The Bible is clear that he is the Savior. The Quran is clear that he's not the Savior. He's merely a prophet. And so we want to address those three subjects. Let's start with the issue of Jesus as the Son of God. Now, first of all, there is no more clear teaching in the New Testament that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, whether directly or indirectly, every single one of the authors of the New Testament referred to Jesus as the Son of God. I'm talking about, there's eight of them: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Jude, and Peter. They all reference, either directly or indirectly, that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, when I say directly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and Peter, they all say straight up, Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, more than 40 times, the reference to Jesus as the Son of God is found in the New Testament, 23 times in the four Gospels alone. And then you've got James and Jude, where in the book of Jude, Jude refers to Jesus as the Master and Lord, clearly a reference to Jesus as the Son of God and Savior. And then James himself saw Jesus transfigured with Moses and Elijah as he watched with Peter and John. And so there is absolutely no doubt that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, I wanted to quote from Matthew 16, verse 13 and 17. Here's what it says. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Who do the people say that I am? And they answered and said, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, but still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? So Jesus asked his followers, who do you guys say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right, are you tracking with me? Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? Jesus says, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you. And so here we see not only Peter calling Jesus the Son of God, but Jesus affirming to Peter, yes, you're right, I am the Son of God, and in fact, my Father is the one who revealed that to you. And so the argument against Jesus as the Son of God from an Islamic scholar standpoint, the only argument that I've ever heard, because it's so clear, is that somehow the Bible has been corrupted, and that that's the reason that the original Bible, the original New Testament, nowhere in it did it teach that Jesus was the Son of God. And, you know, I just want to say respectfully, that's ridiculous. If you're going to question whether or not the New Testament is corrupt based on its claim that Jesus is the Son of God, as I mentioned, you've got to eliminate every single author of the New Testament. Come on now. A better argument is either the New Testament is the Word of God or it's not the Word of God. Those are the only two options. But to claim that, well, some of it is the Word of God, or originally it was the Word of God, but then Christians who wanted to teach that Jesus was the Son of God came in and corrupted it to make it say that, that's frankly, it's absurd. And, you know, there's another internet argument that I've seen along the way, and that is that somehow saying that Jesus didn't receive worship somehow proves that he's not the Son of God. Well, A, that wouldn't prove that he wasn't the Son of God. As I just mentioned, it's everywhere. It permeates the New Testament. But if you know your Bible well enough, Jesus did receive worship. Matthew 28:17. After he had raised from the dead, he's hanging out with the disciples. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. I love the honesty there that some were doubtful. But they worshiped him, and Jesus received worship. Not only that, another reference would be in John 9:38. Remember when Jesus healed the blind man? After he healed the guy, the blind man says, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And by the way, Jesus received worship. So, brothers and sisters, it actually gets more serious than this, though, because the Bible has some outrageously antagonistic and harsh language to say to anyone who would deny that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, let me read for you from 1 John 2, verse 22. It says the following: "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son." My goodness, dear listener, Muhammad denies the Father and the Son. The Allah of the Quran denies that Jesus is the Son of God and that Yahweh is his Father. And the Bible says of that, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Remember that I told you these aren't just different gods. They're opposite gods. They're not just opposite. They're antagonistic towards one another. And not even just antagonistic. They're diametrically opposed to one another. According to their own books, one is the Christ and the other is the Antichrist. Let me just quote some parallel verses here. Many of you know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And yet the Quran teaches in Surah, that is chapter 112, verse 2 and 3, it says, "God, the eternal absolute, he begetteth not, nor is he begotten." And then the Quran says in chapter 23, verse 90 and 91, "They," that is the Christians, "indeed they practice falsehood, no son did God beget." And then in Surah 37, 151 and 152, it says this: "Is it not that they," the Christians, "say from their own invention, God has begotten children, but they," that is Christians, "are liars." Come on now. We need to know our Bibles, and in this day and age, if we're going to avoid being duped, we need to know a little bit about what Islam teaches in the Quran. Now again, I'm not picking on you Muslims any more than I'm picking on Christians. So many of you are not aware what your own holy book teaches, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim. I mean, it's the same throughout the world. People love to be religious, but they don't even really know what their holy books teach. So many don't know what they believe, and so many more have no idea why they believe what they believe. I want to tell you that the Bible is clear. Jesus, he professed to be not only the Son of God, he professed equality with his Father. Jesus said he was God. Just a couple of references, John 8:58, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he equated himself with the great I am, the Yahweh of the Old Testament, the Yahweh of Exodus 3:14. And then in John 17:5, he's talking to his heavenly Father in prayer, and he says, "Now, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world ever was." And again, as I mentioned in Matthew 16:15 and 16, Jesus confirmed to Peter and the apostles that indeed he was the Son of God, and he told them that his heavenly Father had revealed that to him. So there's no doubt. It's illogical. It's unreasonable to believe that the God of the Quran is the same God of the Bible. It's ignorant. It's absolutely ignorant to think that the Allah of the Quran is the same, one and the same as the Allah or the God of the Bible. Now, this second issue, was Jesus crucified or not? The Bible says he was. The Quran says he was not. Now, I'm not going to belabor this from a biblical standpoint, because I'm assuming that if you're listening to me today, you absolutely know that that is a fundamental tenet of biblical teaching and Christianity, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and then after 3 days he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. He was crucified on a hill called Golgotha. Jesus himself prophesied that he would be crucified, and the New Testament could not be more clear. And yet, the Quran teaches that Jesus was not crucified, and I have not heard an Islamic scholar say anything to the contrary. Let me quote from you a surah that is chapter 4 of the Quran, verse 157 and 158. And it says that they said in both of Christians, "We killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them. Those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety they killed him not, nay, Allah raised him unto himself." So what that verse in the Quran is clearly teaching is that Jesus was not crucified, but rather he was made to appear as if he was crucified, that the Christians are wrong. They did not kill him, nor was he crucified. For sure, they killed him not. Now, so there's no question about the clarity here, right? The difference in teaching. There's no ambiguity here. The Bible teaches that Jesus was crucified. The Quran teaches that he was not crucified. But brothers and sisters, and if you've got loved ones or good friends who are Muslim, you need to understand that it's not just the Bible that teaches that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was crucified. All of the greatest historians of that time period acknowledge that Jesus was crucified. The great Jewish historian Josephus said in his writings, and I quote, "Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to himself both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principled men among us, had condemned him to the cross." Now, again, I'm reading from this history book written by the Jewish historian Josephus, acknowledging and confirming that Jesus had been condemned to the cross. "Those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again on the third day." So Josephus writes about the reality that Jesus died on the cross, just as the Bible taught. And now, again, the only argument against this is that somehow Josephus, these words are corrupted. Now, I would just say to that, come on now. It's just not logical. That's an unreasonable argument. Now, I've got in front of me the Annals of Imperial Rome, written by arguably the greatest Roman historian of the time, Tacitus. And he wrote much about Jesus and Christianity. And here I pick up, he says, "Nero fabricated scapegoats and punished with every refinement the notoriously depraved Christians," as they were popularly called, "their originator, Christ, had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate." And it says, "But in spite of this temporary setback, the deadly superstition had broken out afresh." Tacitus was no Christian. He was no affirmer of Christianity, and yet he himself concludes historically that Jesus was executed in Tiberius' reign, and his reference there is being executed on the cross. And so you see, my friends, to believe that Jesus was not crucified is not only to deny the teachings of the Bible, it is to deny the teachings of history. It is to deny the historical record. Unreasonable, illogical, and I would say even delusional. And so with those two things being fully clarified, the third aspect of the God of the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is the Savior of the world. that he died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures, and then he was raised from the dead after 3 days, conquering sin and Satan and death. And yet, as we've established, the Quran teaches none of those things. The Quran merely acknowledges Jesus as a great prophet. So let's evaluate that for a minute. Is it unreasonable to think of Jesus as a great prophet rather than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the crucified, raised again from the dead, Lord and Savior? Well, in reference to that, I want to quote from C.S. Lewis, something that he wrote in The Case for Christianity. And I'm quoting C.S. Lewis here. He says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying about him, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. C.S. Lewis goes on to say, that's the one thing we mustn't say. Now, why would C.S. Lewis say that? Well, let me say this about that. You see, to say that Jesus was just a prophet, as the Allah of the Quran, as Muhammad claims, or to claim that he was just a good moral teacher, I would say that is to express perhaps the greatest ignorance that any human being can be found guilty of. Because a man who was just a man who said the kinds of things that Jesus said cannot be a good or moral teacher. He certainly couldn't be a true prophet of God. Why? Because Jesus claimed to be God. Remember John 8:58. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. In John 10, verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. And lest there be any doubt what he meant, those that he said to, that too began to pick up stones to stone him. And Jesus asked him, say, hey, why are you guys picking up stones to stone me? And he says, they answered him and said, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He cleansed the lepers. Jesus prophesied that he would be killed, and he claimed, he prophesied that he'd be raised from the dead after 3 days. Jesus said of himself that he was coming back from the dead to judge the world at the end of time. So let me ask you, or I guess let me say this. The one thing Jesus was not was just a prophet. The one thing Jesus was not was just a good man or a moral teacher. Jesus didn't leave those options open. I'm telling you, the only logical choices are twofold. Either he was a raving lunatic and a liar, or he was and is who he said he is. Now, those are your only two reasonable options. Despite what the famous atheist Richard Dawkins has to say about this in his book, his best-selling book, I might add, The God Delusion. In that book, Richard Dawkins offers a fourth choice, and I'm being completely serious here. He says, and I quote, maybe Jesus was just wrong about himself. Maybe he was simply mistaken. Okay, track with me here. Let's think about this, okay? Let me ask you, how would you respond right now if I were to tell all of you today that actually I am God and that I have always existed and that I have the power to forgive your sins and that I'm going to be killed, but I will rise again on the third day? Let me ask you, would you say that these are the words of an otherwise normal individual who is simply mistaken? Yeah, I don't think so. I actually think that Dawkins, the title of Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, is an apt description of his own thoughts on this issue. So there you have it, the reality of what the Bible and the Quran teach about this subject. And I would argue, and I believe that you would have to agree, that it's not reasonable to believe that the God of the Bible is the same God of the Quran, that the Allah of the Bible is the same Allah, Islam, that the God that Muhammad worshipped is not the same God that the Bible worships, that they are different gods. They are antagonistic towards one another. They are mutually exclusive. And I want to encourage you at the here at the end of today's broadcast, I just want to encourage you the Bible says that the people who find God are the people who actually seek God. You may have been born into a Christian family here in the United States. You may have been born into a Muslim family in some Middle East country or right here in America. But the reality is that God's offer is to everyone, however you start off, wherever you're born, whatever religious predisposition you grow up with. I'm here to tell you that there is only one God, and it is your responsibility to find out who that God is. The Bible says that everyone is without excuse. And I want to encourage you, wherever you're coming from, dear listener, I want to encourage you, if you will seek God with all of your heart, God promises to reveal himself to you, no matter where you're coming from right now. Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The Bible says in Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no one else, for no other name under heaven, that is Jesus Christ, has been given among men by which we must be saved. I want to encourage you, take this program and these resources and references and go to the Bible and study it for yourself. Go to the Quran and study it for yourself. This is what I have done. And God says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Oh God, I pray again today over every listener right now that you will watch over your word and perform it, that you will cause the voice of your authority to be heard, to be realized, that you will open the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, I lay claim to the promise of your word in Isaiah, that as your word has gone forth today, that it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose that you set for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.